This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
We are going to ask you for your opinion regarding potential future Alliance games, assuming this Alliance can get off the ground.
All right. If you go inside numbers here and the history of the ACC against the Big Ten and the ACC against the Pac-12, one thing is going to become readily evident very quickly. There's just not that many games against Pac-12 schools. Just doesn't happen much. I mean, and in some cases, it's over. It's been almost 30 years since some games have played.
Almost
maybe even
50,
longer. For
almost
some.
50 for Wolfpack in the house, right? Is that right? 70s.
Yeah. Wolfpack in the house has been almost 50. It's been more than 50 for the TIGERS.
Just don't see them.
Yeah.
Pac-12. I mean, and you know, let's be honest. It's always been a regional sport,
sure,
for the most part.
Right.
And, you know, every now and then you'll dip your toe in the big end of the water and just go in the end of the pool and go, all right, let's go play somebody of note.
Right.
It doesn't happen very often.
But also think about it, too, and you know what I mean by this. We're of the age where in the late 70s and early 80s, it was kind of chic to go across the country and play. Remember that? There were games occasionally that would happen. But then what happened was the economics of college football kicked in, where schools realized I can make more money paying an FCS school to come play rather than spending a lot of money to go across the country. And a lot of those games were one-offs. They weren't home-and-home series. Then you had the occasional home-and-home that developed in the 90s and 2000s. But let's go to this ACC history against the Pac-12, and you'll see what we're talking about here. There's just not that many meetings. Look, Boston College has played 13 games against Pac-12 membership. Duke has played 14. Clemson has played 5, and they haven't played one in the regular season since 1966. Florida State, 10. Georgia Tech, Pitt's 50, looks like an outlier. 50 games against Pac-12 membership. Virginia, 7. Virginia Tech, 4. Wake, 5. NC State, 6. Their last game was Arizona State, 1974. Danny White was quarterback in the Sun Devils back then, by the way, I think.
Based on those numbers right there, if I was the Commonwealth, why would I spend a lot of money to go out there and get an L? I don't see any success there on the W column.
That'd be 0-11.
The Commonwealth might just say, I don't know about this Pac-12 idea. That hasn't worked out too well for us so far.
Also remember, too, I hate to bring this up, but in the pre-1950s, Duke was kind of a national brand.
They were.
Georgia Tech was a national brand. They didn't have any problem going out there in the regular season or playing during the bowl games.
Again, I go back to a regional sport, right? That's always been the deal with college football. But I think that's one of the reasons why there would be an excitement factor for fan bases in the ACC if this deal gets figured out.
Yeah.
I think fans would be excited to see Big Ten and the Pac-12 teams come to their house. And, hey, like I said, if you got some disposable income, some pretty cool road trips.
Yeah.
If you're in the mood,
all right.
If it happens.
All right, let me show you the Big Ten here, and then we're going to get to some social media stuff we had from yesterday and more of your calls at 844-SAY-ACCN. The Big Ten now, we got a little more history rolling in that deal. See, I mean, you got, you know, Pittsburgh's played Syracuse ton of games. I mean, over 200 and some odd games there with those schools.
Now, keep in mind, Maryland was an ACC member, right? Maryland is now a Big Ten member. So those numbers are going to be skewed a little bit with Maryland included. Mm-hmm. But they are currently a Big Ten member, so hence the numbers.
Right. So I look at – I see some of these, and I'm thinking, okay, well, there's Maryland factored in. But Syracuse and Pittsburgh, they've played, given their proximity, no surprise, right?
Right. Again, a regional sport makes sense.
Yeah. So anyway, that's just a look at what we're talking about here. But the stuff in the Pac-12 is stark.
I mean, I am kind of upbeat that they can pull this off.
Oh, I am too.
I think it's got a chance to get people excited about games up and above what your conference slate looks like.
And
why
that's
not?
And that's really kind of what we're asking, folks.
Right.
Isn't it?
Exactly right.
I mean, you know, if you got a favorite school and you get your choice, who you want to see them play, we'll show you some social media reaction. But when we come back, one of us put all 14 ACC schools in a game.
And they're proud of it.
Oh, yeah. I'm not promising greatness.
I know.
Just promising.
I did. I gave you great games. This guy.
Did you
is,
really?
I,
did you really?
Was there a bad one? Was there a bad game?
Was there a bad game?
Was there a bad game? Pick one. That you call it out right now. Was there a bad game? TV executive. That you'd say no to.
Although I'm not going to argue you on games for television because you are the
that,
marketing and production genius.
That's where I was coming from. Those are the games I want to see.
Yeah. All right. 844-SAY-ACC. And when we come back, I will tell you. And I, by the way, I've got seven Pac-12 and seven Big Ten
aren't
games.
Aren't you politically correct?
Symmetry. Packer and Durham rolling on this fine, fine Tuesday morning. So we will do all this and get your calls at 844-SAY-ACCN. On the other side, my matchups. I didn't tell you where. I just told you who. In the Alliance, next.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham. On a Tuesday, 844-SAY-ACCN. I know you wait in anticipation.
Yeah, you do.
West Durham has every single ACC team
sure I do.
Slotted for a Big Ten and or Pac-12 matchup.
And why wouldn't you?
Well, it's your list.
It's an alliance.
Tag, you're it.
All right, let's go to the Big Ten first. I got seven ACC teams playing Big Ten. I got seven playing Pac-12. Let's roll the video from the Big Ten, shall we? Okay. Georgia Tech, Purdue, second meeting all time, two outstanding engineering schools, Pac.
Like it. See what you did there.
Yeah. Boston College, Wisconsin, first meeting ever. I like first meetings.
I know you do. NC State, Wisconsin would be better, but go ahead.
All right. I want Florida State, Michigan. This will be the fourth time they've ever played. I just think you want your brands? There's your brands.
Mm-hmm. I'm with you.
Like Either it. Environment would be perfect.
I like it.
Here's one. Louisville and Indiana, as like close as they are, they've only played twice. How in the world have they only played twice?
I know. That's stunning. I like that game, too. Okay. So far, I like your schedule making.
All right. Miami, Penn State. I like the white helmets. I want a white helmet classic.
You want that at Happy Valley?
It doesn't matter. Hard Rock, Happy Valley.
You're talking about white helmets. How about a white out?
White out from Miami, Penn State. That'd be good. Virginia Tech and Iowa have never played. Two rough edge defense grind football teams.
Justin Fuente walking into a pink locker room with his maroon hoodie.
Yeah.
Showing the guns.
Yeah.
Kirk Ferentz on the other side. Everybody waving to the kids.
Yeah.
And the great traditions.
A lot
new
of 22
traditions.
Personnel coming out of Iowa.
Oh, you're right about that.
Okay. Clemson, Ohio State.
Has
That's
to
easy,
be.
Right?
Has to be.
All right. Now, Miami, Penn State. White helmets. But don't forget, Shane Conlon will always be on the Hurricanes list. Why? Miami gets off the plane in Phoenix. Yeah, there's Vinny with the 5 o'clock shadow. There are the Canes. That's quite a statement, wasn't it?
That was a great game.
It was a great game. There's Vinny, Heisman Trophy winner. Miami in the leather and the camo. Kind of created bowl gifts, if you really want to know the truth, Pac. This is when we started getting sweatsuits, as I recall. Not long after that, right?
A little swagger yeah. from the Canes. Yeah. Penn State all buttoned up with their suit and tie.
Like
Joe
that?
Pye.
I mean, yeah.
that game had everything you wanted now. National championship, two great teams.
Oh, look at this.
And it was some kind of game.
Yep. Is that Chuck Yusena?
Snap, going the other way.
And this is, here's the Fiesta Bowl. There's the throw. Dives for the end zone. Can we get a Shane Conlon pick? Oh, we got Ken Dorsey. Wow. How about this? Yep. At Happy Valley. Good times.
Some of these matchups are out of sight.
All right. A little more difficult when you get to the Pac-12. Now, remember, only seven schools.
Hey, it's your
list.
Big Ten
list. All right. Pac-12. Here we go. This list... North Carolina, Washington. How about us?
Well, you copying off my page
no,
again?
No, I was not copying off your page. Virginia, Cal. First meeting ever. Two AAU schools, very academically driven.
Well, yeah, but if I want to go read a book, I'll stay home. Well, just like I did this weekend, reading Herb Street's book.
Sit
I want to go watch a football
game. At the
base of
that tree out by Memorial Stadium.
I've been
Berkeley.
To Berkeley. That's that nice. Is a great place to watch
great
a game.
Great place to watch
a
game.
So
yeah.
Charlottesville.
Wake Forest, Oregon State. First meeting ever. Doesn't move you, does it?
Deeks and Beavers, I got to be honest with you.
Does not move you? Does not move you.
That may be a hashtag not going to be able to make that
one. Okay. How about Duke Washington State late night snack from the Pac-12? Get in the Palouse, ball in the air. Ball to be in the air. That'd be a long game now. Be a long game.
How about Duke Stanford?
How about Duke Washington State? That's the one I got here. You know why? They've never played.
I know. You like this never played thing, which is fine. Which is fine. But I'd rather see Duke in Palo Alto. You know why? Giants baseball.
Yeah. Giants baseball, of course. Yeah. All right. NC State, Utah. Again, never played. Pitt, Colorado, never played. Syracuse, Arizona State, have never played.
I sense a theme.
I think that's what this has got to be. I think if you're going to do this, you've got to be willing to write a little history for your league, too.
The interesting thing about Syracuse, Arizona State is if that game ever comes to fruition,
the Lumberjacks will be at odds.
We have to do an ACC Network watchover between the Lumberjacks.
Well, we do.
We'll representing Syracuse, representing Arizona State.
Yeah.
That'd be spectacular.
And the amazing thing about Drew Brooks is he actually didn't go to school at Arizona State.
Yeah, but he takes credit.
He takes all the credit.
Right.
So there you go.
Nothing wrong with that. You got to take the good with the bad, though. I just think, listen, I'll go back to my same theme with all this. Number one, it's early in the conversations and talk. So, again, we are kind of getting ahead of the game here. But if you're a fan,
gotta love it.
You got to love the potential of who you could see
from
the Big Ten and the Pac-12. And that's kind of where we're coming from with our show today and actually the last 2 days when we start talking about potential matchups and how could that affect scheduling and who knows where it goes with the ACC. But I kind of like the concept. So, again, grab your popcorn. And it's also going to be interesting, Wes, to figure out how quickly this either gets approved or doesn't. Where they fit some snags, hey, this is not going to work. We got meteorite issues. Listen, there's all kinds of issues here. But I think that late meeting in September, when everybody gets together to talk about the college football playoff expansion, you know, there's going to be a lot more conversations and dialogues between now and that spot amongst these three power leagues about what is their position going to be. So while we get excited about football here in a couple weeks, this is a great sidebar story.
All right, let's get to the calls. 844-SAY-ACCN. We'll start in Louisiana with Hakeem.
Hello?
Yes, sir.
Yes, I would love to see Clemson, Ohio State, because number one, like, if you think about it, Clemson like always been like the number one team in the ACC. And in the Big Ten, Ohio State, people always pay to see them. Like, and plus, like, they're producing, like, top players. Like, Ohio State got Chris Olave and Garrett Wilson coming back. And with Clemson, you got DJ Uiagalelei. I was watching him since high school at St. John Bosco. That would be a good matchup. Like, it would, like, honestly.
Well, you may get that one this year.
You could see that game. Yeah. And by the way, as we went through Heisman numbers yesterday, C.J. Stroud, apparently an incredible player, higher rankings than Sam Howell. Take that for whatever it's worth.
Yep.
But you know, Ryan Day's done a great job from a recruiting perspective. We know the relationship between Clemson and Ohio State, their fans. That game's already got a little juice because I mentioned the whole Danny Ford-Woody Hayes thing. That's how it got started. But we've seen that game already a bunch in the last 10 years, and I sense that you're going to see that game a bunch moving forward this decade.
All right. Bill in Tampa, next on Packer and Durham. Bill.
Hey, how you doing? Good morning. Enjoy the show, guys.
Good morning.
Thanks.
Morning. Yeah, I coached and played at the University of Miami, and Pac had the Canes playing Southern Cal. And I was fortunate enough to be on the team when we played Southern Cal in 1966 and 1968. We won the first one. We lost the second one. And O.J. Simpson, we beat Southern Cal, but O.J. Simpson beat us in the second one. And we won the first one in the Orange Bowl 10-7. And that was a great series. I think it would still be a great series because it, market-wise, you got marquee names. I think it would be a great series.
Yeah.
I agree, obviously. Again, I just think both those markets, given the sunshine, the tradition, the history, everybody would know everybody. Those would be great road trips for both fan bases. I think that'd be a really fun series.
Yeah. Good stuff. Bill, thank you from Tampa. Appreciate that. More of your calls coming up at 844-SAY-ACCN. It's a fun topic.
Well, it's fun because you can kind of fantasize a little bit, right? A little crystal ball, where this thing goes. And, you know, I'm sure if you were a kid growing up and you loved your ACC team as you do today, you always thought about, man, can you imagine if we ever played a game at the Rose Bowl, right? I mean, you could do that with UCLA. Can you imagine going to the Big House or to the Shoe or Happy Valley? I mean, it's just a cool topic. And who knows? We may get ACC, Big Ten, and Pac-12 hooking up together.
Yeah. All right. Sit tight. More to come. Halfway home on a Tuesday morning. Brian Brown, Louisville's defensive coordinator, in the Power Hour with us today. We got plenty more too, including these alliance games. The potential of Virginia Tech and getting on the road, maybe playing, teeing it up, you know, somewhere along the way. That'd be fun to do, wouldn't it? We're back after this. Packer and Durham on ACC Network.
Packer and Durham. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham, you got it from the basement. I got to tell you, the basement's looking good.
Have you sorted out anything you think we'll hear that we haven't covered? You playing the world or somebody calling up figuring out who's in the Pac-12? You figure.
Well, you know, I do this every afternoon, so I'm kind of used to the fake left, go right, and people coming up with new rules while we kind of lay things out of what we'd like to do. But it's what makes it fun.
All right, John in South Carolina, out of the break at 844 say ACCN. John, good morning.
I swear, you ACC guys don't know anything about football. You are missing the greatest potential matchup in decades in college football. It's a natural, so let an SEC guy help you. A rematch of, this is one of Pac's favorite games, too, a rematch of the 1941 Rose Bowl at Wallace Wade Outdoor Stadium, Duke versus Oregon State. It's going to be huge.
We appreciate your SEC help. We're well aware of that. In fact, we even talked about that yesterday. When we talked about the Rose Bowl, about whether or not Durham had a parade. But for a historical standpoint, that would be a fun game. But
it was also the 42 Rose Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, you had the wrong year, but other than that, you're all over.
It was all good.
But we appreciate your help. Thank you very much.
Thanks, John. So there we go. I got no idea what we're talking about.
Roll Tide.
Yeah. He was from South Carolina.
Trying to help us out. I appreciate it.
Might have been one of your buds from down there.
That could have been. Listen, we got it covered, man. I'm just telling you. 844-SAY-ACC and get it all over you.
Is there anything else you want to?
No.
No?
No, I'm good.
Yeah?
I'm good on that front.
Let me go to social media here on a couple of these if we can. We got a few of these that are really kind of interesting. And people thinking historical, like John was, with Duke and Oregon State. Mark Green has tweeted in, he would like to see Georgia Tech and Cal to see if anyone returns a fumble the wrong direction because that was the Roy Riegel's game.
Oh, that's good.
28 Rose Bowl. And Heisman's team won on Roy Riegel's wrong way run.
I'm just going to say this. If you had the 1928 Rose Bowl in your Packer and Durham Tuesday bingo game, take a swig. Take a big sip right
take
now.
Take a big sip.
I mean, a big sip. Yeah. 1920. We just went 90. Well, actually, John had it wrong. It was the 42 Rose.
It was 42.
Which was in Durham. But the 28 Rose. Who would have thought we have a 28 Rose Bowl selection today?
Wallace Beeson.
Mm.
Friend of the show?
Mm.
Friend of the show.
Yeah.
Yeah, friend of the show. He wants to see Duke, Oregon State play home and home for the 42 Rose Bowl. There you go, John. All right, got it locked in.
And by the way, Wallace had it in before John called in to help us out. And I just want that to be on record.
All right. Remember you said earlier in the show today that Virginia Tech and Michigan might have to clear some things up?
That was on my list.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Bernard Shoemate is rolling with you. He thinks Virginia Tech, Michigan should play, and Danny caught the ball.
Yeah, that's why I put that on the list.
Danny Cole.
Because if you go back through my list, not only do you have big-time brands, but you've also had rematch games, right? I mean, Florida State, Oregon. And that's the Jameis Winston where the streak comes to an end, and I mean, it was kind of an ugly day at the Rose Bowl. Same thing with Virginia Tech, Michigan. And Hokie fans to this day are convinced – Grady Hoke did not win that game that night against Michigan.
That's right.
And that, to me, that would be a fun series. That one just kind of has...
Virginia Tech, Michigan.
Yeah, like I said, I picked games that had a little bit of hook where there's a little tradition, a little history. And, you know, yeah, we'd like to come back and beat those guys. We'll see where it goes.
Here's Mark's Dream Alliance for those of you that weren't with us in hour one. The eight games, Clemson, Ohio State, Virginia Tech, Michigan, Florida State, and Oregon, Miami, USC, Pitt, Penn State, Russell Wilson Classic, NC State, Wisconsin.
It's the only team NC State should play in the Big Ten is Wisconsin until proven otherwise.
Yeah.
Just because of Russell Wilson.
All right. My man Chris also tweeted us.
Chris?
I don't know.
Is that Chris or Chris? Which one is it?
It just says Chris on the sheet, but I can relate to what he's saying. He said that we could finally get this Georgia Tech-Colorado issue settled from 1990.
Oh, that's an interesting angle, too.
Five downs, the whole bit. You know, the fraudulent block in the back. You know, that deal.
National championship.
Yeah. Bobby Ross would have won it outright twice. Five downs and the Orange Bowl that night.
You know how much I love Bobby Ross. I'm a big Bobby Ross fan.
Great guy.
He did crack the top 100 list. That
Should
Bill
have.
Conley put together the top 100 coaches in the last 50 years. Bobby Ross on the list.
Yep. No doubt. I like the I like this. This has been fun. We did good work. Let's go to Griff in North Carolina. 844 say ACC. And Griff, good morning.
Good morning.
What's up?
How are y'all?
We're good, man. How are you?
Pretty good. Yeah, I think we ought to replay one I played in when I played in the 70s for NC State. We went to Penn State and beat them, and then they came here and won on a 52-yard field goal that hit the upright and then the crossbar and fell over.
Yep. Hey, Griff, let me ask you a question. What was it like playing for Lou Holtz?
Well, he was the one that recruited me. I mainly played for Bo Ryan.
Right. Oh, I got you. Got you.
Well, yeah, he was unbelievable too. We lost Bo way too early.
Yeah, he was a great. He was going to be a great
head coach. Yep.
Yeah.
But you're right. NC State and Penn State. That's a sneaky series. Wolfpack, as he said, that was the those were the teams that like Bobby Morrison was coaching on with Bo Ryan, and they had back to back. They had a home and home. Penn State was independent though. Had a lot more room on the schedule. You like NC State, Penn State?
I do like that game. But you know what? From a brand perspective, NC State, Wisconsin is the game for NC State. I mean, Russell Wilson is still a Wolfpack guy, right? And every single list you ever see has Russell Wilson, Wisconsin.
Right.
So, and that bothers NC State fans. So I would like to see NC State and Wisconsin. No disrespect. Penn State, I think a little bit bigger national brand.
Sure.
And I think you can have a bigger national brand matchup for my perspective.
Right.
My perspective. Because I'm talking about people watching eyeballs and, hey, let's go watch these games. These games are power broker games. That's what I like.
But, okay, so let's tie the two lines here together. We're talking about the brand of television and the brand of the teams that creates the television.
Right.
Andy Staples wrote in The Athletic yesterday about the 4 million thing. That's the magic number in television to see if you can get a look of 4 million.
And that's where my list was coming from.
Right. I understand that. But we all agree, though, that if you have this and that model takes shape, you're not going to have, you know, world title fights every time you play a Pac-12 or a Big Ten team.
Not every time.
There's going to be years where, and again, we talk about scheduling on here, and as you said, it's the fascination of every college football fan to be able to go ahead and put schedules together. And there's some fans that think they're scheduling their team to beat and win national championships, and they're scheduling them to go about 6-6 if they're not careful, right?
Right.
But the idea of being able to get a hammer every week is not ideal in the world of athletic administration or football coaching.
Well, you know, you say that, Wes, but, you know, and I give the Southeastern Conference credit. Hey, you add Oklahoma and Texas. Guess what your schedule is going to look like? There are going to be some national brands at 6-6, and fan bases looking around going, hey, man,
wait a second. What's our problem? Why do we bring those two cats?
Why do we stink? Yeah. That is going to happen. So I think when you start talking about this alliance – Scheduling, I think, will be one facet of it. And for this to work, you have to have games in which networks are willing to pay.
And what's hence on the books.
My list.
And what's on the books.
Right. But my point is, if you're going to have a game or two,
right,
for argument's sake, that's going to involve the Big Ten and the Pac-12, if you're an ACC fan, I got news for you.
Yeah.
You're going to have brands taking on brands, yeah, in my opinion.
Chris in Miami, before we get to James Mitchell, in case you missed it from last week. Chris.
Hey, guys. Great watching you today. Big fans. Big Carolina fan. I'd love to see Carolina play USC. Wasn't that a big game when Carolina went to Southern California and beat the crap out of the Trojans? Be fun to see them come back to Chapel Hill.
That was Jason Stanisek and Leon and Curtis Johnson. Johnson's still running on USC hard that night.
Yeah.
That's a big win for Mack Brown, by the way.
It was. You know, North Carolina, UCLA will get a lot of talk from a basketball perspective. We're really talking football today, given the blue bloods in terms of hoops and tradition and history, especially what UCLA looks like. They're getting their act together. Be fascinating to see how Hubert does coming out of the gates.
Yeah.
There's a lot of combinations, I think, that work with North Carolina. You and I both put down Washington, which I think is kind of crazy.
I would love to see that game.
Me too. And for folks who've never been to the University of Washington, it's one of the most beautiful settings in a great town. I'm a pro Seattle guy. Mm-hmm. Love that town. And uniform combinations would be great in that game. The teams are really, really good. Great fan base in Washington.
Yep.
It's a long trip. I get it. But again, we're just picking and choosing here. But that'd be a cool matchup as well. There's a lot of them.
Gotten some good ideas here. Carolina USC again. That was a one game.
Listen, anybody USC, you'd be excited. I mean, just saying. It doesn't matter who you are in the ACC. If USC was on the – and by the way, for clarification, especially for John, the SEC guy, USC would be the University of Southern California. Talking real football here. So that is the brand. That would be the brand that I think everybody would love to see on your schedule. Why are you laughing? I mean, you got to clarify it, right?
Yeah. Is this the part where I'm supposed to use my dad's old line too?
Well, if you're in the mood.
In 49 states in the District of Columbia, Carolinas and Chapel Hill. Is that the one?
Well, I mean, if you want, go for it. But you know, I'm not saying, hey, go play UNC. Are you talking about Northern Colorado? No, that would be incorrect answer.
That's Ed McCaffrey coaching.
All right. I'm talking about the University of North Carolina. I mean, there's one USC. So you would love to have them on your schedule. So if that happens to be the case, again, that's why I'm pro-Alliance. I hope it works. I do.
All right. Don't forget the ACC football road trip continues Thursday night. Hey.
Coming to my city.
Twin Cities. Dave Clawson and the Deeks host Jordan Cornett and EJ Manuel. You know what? I may ride up there to see those fellas on Thursday. Go up there and have a little look-see at the Deeks.
I'd love to join you, but I can't
do it.
No,
you got a show. Got an afternoon show. Thursday, 7 p.m. Eastern from Winston-Salem. Right here on ACC Network and streaming live on the ESPN app. And when we come back, we talk about quarterbacks. This league might be sneaky good at tight end. And the top of the list is from Big Stone Gap. The governor, James Mitchell, is next on Packer and Durham.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
In Durham on a Tuesday morning show, 440 for anybody keeping score. And if you did have the 1928 Rose Bowl, you are a winner.
You have won
the prize.
You have already been a winner.
You, too, get free parking with everybody at WSJS in Winston-Salem.
You know what? It as we run through the early stages of these football practices, I've enjoyed catching up with guys, not only coaches, and you'll hear from Brian Brown of Louisville coming up about 9:30, but also the players, especially some of the headline guys. James Mitchell of Virginia Tech, I think, fits that bill, don't you?
He is a big-time tight end in a league loaded, I think, with big-time tight ends. And the thing that makes him so good, Wes, is the fact that, you know what, he can catch, he can block, and more importantly, he can run. He is a threat anywhere on the field.
We enjoyed our visit with him last week, and we talked to him at the start about, though, being an older guy in the program, where's the point where you kind of get into this fall camp, you hit the wall, and then realize you got to keep going?
For me personally, I feel like it's kind of when you know, you kind of first put the pads back on and you kind of have that first couple of days of, you know, full contact and you're really just going at it. And, you know, your body's sore, you're a little bit tired, but, you know, you got to keep going. You got to keep grinding it out because fall camp's long, but, you know, it's going to be worth it in the end and getting to play a full season, hopefully, and with fans and all that. So it's exciting. It's going to be worth it.
That's the part, I think, James, that even veteran guys, right? I mean, you get through those first couple days where the pads are back on, the temperature gets a little hotter. Younger guys, maybe a little longer acclimation. Even veteran guys have a day or two, right?
Oh, for sure. I know when I was a freshman, when we first started out putting the pads on, like I was pretty dead when I was a young guy. But as I got older, you know, your body kind of gets used to a little more. I mean, you're still obviously tired, but you know, you're used to the ground a little bit more. You know what to expect, so that helps out a lot.
As far as the Hokies go. Again, I can't emphasize this first game enough. I know there's 12 of them at least, but that first one's a biggie. But offensively, this team from afar seems like you guys could be really, really dangerous. You got a quarterback that I know you trust. You got great wide receivers. You are a problem matchup for everybody in the league and then some. So what do you see so far in camp from an offensive perspective?
Kind of like you said, I just see a group of guys that trust each other. You know, we got Braxton, we got a great O-line, we got great backs, great weapons on the outside. I just see a group of guys that's going to go out there and play for each other and compete for each other every single down, every single game. And, you know, throughout camp, we're just continuing to learn from each other and trust each other in every step of the way. And, you know, one thing I see from this offense is these guys care and, you know, they want to see each other do well.
Hey, James, if I were to ask you what this offseason was like, given how weird a year ago was, from a productive standpoint, what did you work on in this offseason now that we were back towards normal? I'm not going to say all the way normal yet, but the ability to get out and have some workouts and throw the rock around, do things like that. What'd you spend time on after such an accomplished season a year ago?
My biggest thing this offseason was definitely, you know, adding some more strength, some more weight to my body. You know, I wanted to get up to about 250, being able to play at that weight and still move. Our strength coach is doing an awesome job, you know, when we're lifting, but also combining that with a lot of speed work. So, you know, I really locked in on that, you know, adding muscle mass to my body as well as keeping that speed. And then just getting out there with Braxton and, you know, building that chemistry with me, Braxton, Tavion, Trey, all the receivers and running backs. Just getting out there and building that chemistry because that's something obviously missed out last summer that's big in football is just, you know, being out there with the guys, building chemistry, learning from one another and just knowing that you can trust them.
Hey, James, don't get too big, man, because you know what? People think tight ends blocking and catching passes, but you go another degree because I've seen enough Virginia Tech football games where all of a sudden there's a handoff to James Mitchell and nobody wants to tackle you. So I don't want you coming in there, you know, like a big old tank, man. You got to keep that speed so you can run with the football.
That's for sure. Like I said, I kept working on my speed, so that's definitely not out of the question.
All right, so what kind of litigation did you have to do to get to carry the football? Where did all that hatch? And did you just say, look, I'll run with this if y'all want me to? Or did you say, come on now, coach, let me have a rock?
That actually was all them. I didn't say anything about it to them, about me running the ball. I guess they saw I did it a little bit in high school. So I guess I had good field vision. I don't know, which I only usually run around the goal line. But, you know, I didn't say anything to them. One day we just put it in, and it's been pretty successful.
You know, we as fans, because that's basically what we are, and my wife's a Virginia Tech alum, and I emphasized to you even before we brought you on here, the anticipation of that first game. And for Virginia Tech fans, like last year, you know, you'd watch a Virginia Tech game and you guys are out there playing in front of 1,000 people and it just did not feel right. It didn't look right. It didn't sound right. And, you know, Virginia Tech got a great home field advantage. I know that you guys have just got to be absolutely jacked knowing what awaits. Number one, a great opponent because North Carolina is really, really talented, as you guys know. You see him every year. You guys have had some unbelievable games with him. But the anticipation of 66,000, enter Sandman, it's go time. And the two teams are, quite frankly, love to beat each other, right? Virginia Tech, North Carolina have just kind of a cool relationship that, you know what, we're different, but we love to play and compete. James, I mean, you live this, man. Just standing in the tunnel, watching everybody jump around. I mean, September 3rd at 6 p.m. sharp, the earth is going to shake when you guys come running out of there.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Like you said, especially with only 1,000 getting to come in, and that was mostly just our families and close friends getting to come to the game. And I know Hokie Nation is ready to get back in there. Like you said, we got a great game opening up with. North Carolina's a great team. We know they're going to come in ready to play. But, you know, that's what makes Virginia Tech so special is the atmosphere that we have on whenever we're playing in Lane. And, you know, all the guys are pumped up and, you know, ready to get that feeling back. And the guys that haven't experienced it yet, they're ready to go out there and, you know, just play in front of the fans and experience what it's like to play in Lane.
Hey, I want to ask you this. I've heard this nickname, the Governor, tossed around a couple times. How did one go about acquiring the nickname, the Governor?
So this is actually a funny story. I was just like sitting, I think I was in a meeting or something, and Caleb Gelsomino, he's one of our quality control guys. We were just in there. He was pulling up the film for me or something like that. And he just like, he randomly said, oh yeah, and by the way, in 15 years, you're going to run for governor and I'm going to be your campaign manager. And I was like, okay. Like, I thought he was joking, but he's dead serious. So, and then the other day, I was running off the practice field and one of the coaches was like, what's up, Governor? And I was like, what's up? And he was like, we should start putting that on all your tweets and all that. And then P, our social media guy, was right there. And later that night, he tweeted it out. And, you know, my teammates have ran away with it. So, I mean, it's sticking. So I guess I'm going to roll with it.
And there's our man, James Mitchell.
He is a player.
Yeah.
He is a Sunday dude. And I tell you what, it's going to be interesting to watch this league in the tight end position, because we could probably go 6, 8, 10 deep, Wes, really good tight ends.
All right, real quick, 844-SAY-ACCN. We're going to hop back into calls here. Jerry in Charlotte, I think, is on the line. Hi, Jerry.
Hey, Wes, how are you?
Good. Appreciate the call.
Yeah, I'd like to see Virginia Tech and Penn State play as a matchup. They were scheduled to play in Blacksburg last season, and that game was canceled because of COVID. The other reason, it'd be a great road trip for both teams. And secondly, they recruit against each other. And the third reason would be the proximity of the schools, and they're both large land-grant universities.
Yeah, they are. Okay. I like that.
He's 100% right. That was a game with the whole COVID thing last year. Mm-hmm. And when we just had the one-year anniversary of Kevin Warren basically going, hey, we're opting out of the 2020 college football season. Of course, the Big Ten and the Pac-12 eventually got back into the football business. But we lost that game, as Jerry pointed out. And that was a bummer because I think all of us in the middle of the summer of 2020 were talking about, man, if we can just have a football season, Penn State at Virginia Tech would be a ton of fun. And we lost a bunch of them last year. So, again, there's all kinds of cool matchups with these three conferences if they can align.
Yeah, and the geography's funny, right? I mean, there's some you're just going to have to go now and say, I'm going. And it's 3 hours, 4 hours, whatever the case may be. Others, Virginia Tech, Penn State, be kind of fun to have Maryland available for a rotation or two back through an old neighborhood, right? So it'd be interesting to see. But, yeah, this has been a fun topic. I enjoyed the enjoyed the conversation. All right, we're going to re-rack the AP Top 10. Louisville defensive coordinator Brian Brown's along for the ride and more, but the preseason poll is out. Pack. Doesn't mean a thing.
Means nothing.
Means nothing. But we got history. We'll cover that and more. Packer and Durham on the Atlantic Coast Conference Television Network.
Packer and Durham.